And the song Sister Ann sang just a little bit ago, I asked her to sing that. It goes with my message. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll have a word of prayer before we begin to read. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do give you praise and glory for all that you've done for us, Lord. We're thankful for this wonderful gift of salvation. We're thankful for Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we recognize that he came as a child born of a virgin. Heavenly Father, many times people just try to deny that, try to talk around it, try to avoid it. But, dear Lord, we believe it. Lord, in the last several days, as myself has been out, dear Lord, and either through a register or somewhere meeting and dealing with people, normally I don't do it, but dear Heavenly Father, this year I was impressed as we part and say thank you and tell people Merry Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, that little phrase is somewhat an offense to many people today. They want to change that phrase. They want to, and they have already. They've done a lot to do that. Our school systems don't recognize Christmas. It's a winter break. It's a holiday time. It's just a different time, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, people maybe even make the comment of happy holidays. And dear Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. But Lord, I made it a point, dear Heavenly Father, to wish people a Merry Christmas. Dear Lord, we love you. We appreciate all that you've done for us. And dear Lord, as the world rises up, against the morals of life, and especially against the principles of the Word of God. Dear Lord, we as saints need to stand bold. Dear Lord, not arrogant, but we need to stand bold, as Brother Herschel just mentioned sometimes about this brother. Dear Lord, we need to let people know this is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. Not to argue, not to debate, but dear Lord, we need to also be bold what the Word of God says. And help us, dear Lord, to do it in kindness and tenderness, dear Lord. The Heavenly Father, we're living in different times. But Lord, that precious name of Jesus, as Sister Ann sang that song, can change the hearts and lives of people. Lord, you did it to us. And Lord, we know that there's still the same power as it is today as it was back then, dear Lord. So we ask you to be with us, Lord, as we go into the service tonight, as we look into the Word of God again this evening. We ask you to anoint and bless each and every one of us. Anoint the word, anoint me, I'll bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 9, you know, I don't know if I've ever brought a message to where I didn't reread it within the last couple hours before I preach. And many a times I find mistakes. And sometimes I'll read a thought and I'm like, I have no idea what I was talking about. You know, I'd have to reread it. And this evening was no different. I put this message together. Usually I don't do it too much during the week, but this is during the week. And I wrote Isaiah chapter 1. And this afternoon when I got here and I looked at Isaiah chapter 1, I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to be in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm supposed to be in Isaiah chapter 9. So, but anyway. Isaiah chapter 9, very familiar verses 6 and 7. Says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah gave a prophecy of verse 6. He says, for unto us a child is born. I like he says, for unto us. And I thought about that this week, for unto us, not only, and that we read that, that's present time. It was present time in Isaiah's time when he said, unto us, a child is born. And as we read it today, unto us the same thing. Unto us today, for Isaiah, a child will be born, and for unto us a child has been born. But unto us, unto those that will accept Jesus Christ, unto us a child is born, a son is given. Isaiah made this prophecy almost a little over 700 years before Christ was ever born. It's been 2,000 years ago since he's born, and thank God we can still say today, unto us, a child has been given, a child has been born, and a child has been given to you and I, unto us. A child is born, and it says, unto us a son is given. I was thinking of this morning as I preached the Word of God, that message I put together this morning earlier in the week, and this one came not too far behind that, and I put in the thoughts for this morning's message, and Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. This morning, John the Baptist, we talked about, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I shall draw all men to me. Sometimes some of the very basics of message, some of the elementary messages that we have is about Christ, a child. Oh, that's basic. That's the beginning. That's the very first stage of things. Yes, that's right. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Behold, the Lamb of God, and the governments shall be upon his shoulders. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be. And we see, read that, the government shall be upon his shoulders. What government? What government? The Roman government. The Jewish government. The Babylonian government. The Persians. The Greeks. The Russians. The Chinese. France, Japan, Africa, Australia, Mexico, Canada, and the United States of America. All the governments will be under control of him. There's not one government that has ever and will ever stand that will be isolated from Jesus Christ. They will bow. They will under control of Christ. Jesus says, the Bible lets us know, God says, I put man up, I bring man down. For the government shall be upon his shoulders. You know, saints, we're living in a time, and I've used this many, many times in preaching, in my own, I use this from my own thoughts, and I hope that it encourages you. We don't know how long life is. You know, I'm 58, so if the Lord allows me to live some time, I got some years. But it's discouraging what we look at out there today. It's discouraging in every part of things of the world. It's discouraging of how the morals of people have just gone down. Our governments, in a sense, the pride of our country has just gone away. Many things like that. But I often encourage myself, and I'm not against any as far as foreigners and things coming into the land. But when they come in and they destroy it and they want to try to change the way our way of living is, the way the United States, it always amazes me that so many people, they desire to come to the United States of America because of what we have today, but then they want to change it all. They come in, we want what you have today, but we want to change all that. We want to change the religion. As I said a little bit ago, as a young man and up to a few years ago, it was Christmas in schools. It was Christmas. We talked about Christ. We were having Christmas break. We're having Easter break. We're acknowledging Jesus Christ. But all these other religions have came into our nation, and they have pushed their way into a place to where they say, we want our place. We want to be recognized with our religion. And they have to make holidays for this. And so they had to take away the Christmas and the Easter and call it winter break and spring break. They had to remove those things. They've made a change ever so slightly, but they've made a change. And it's sooner or later, I believe, the United States of America will not be anymore. It may not be in our time. But there's one thing I encourage myself with. I'm headed to a land where man can't touch. Jesus Christ is the government. Jesus Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the order. No man can go and infect or degrade heaven or Christ's reign. I'm headed to that land where Christ alone is governor, is prince, is the head of all things. And not only is he head today, but he always will be that head and that government as it is. And Daniel, we're not going to turn here, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. And on the days, and in the days of these kings, you know the story, you can go over there and look at it in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and down through that whole chapter there. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto others. I thank God for that. You know, the church of God as we worship, as we have today, the church of God, we don't have a headship. The pastor is the highest called place in a congregation, but there is no headship. We don't have a headquarters somewhere. We don't have a body somewhere sitting there where they make the rules and then they send us a letter and say, you know, we're going to change some rules. We're going to change. The Word of God is our rule. The Word of God is what we follow. And I thank God, what a wonderful blessing. One of the things I do enjoy about meeting other people in other nations, that we have that same fellowship and we have that same principles of the teaching of the Word of God all the way on the other side of the world, on the other side of the country, and the other states and things. When we come together, there are some people I can get together in our area and even in different countries, and we can start to talk a little bit about the things of God, and right away, there's something different. As Brother Walter, as Brother Herschel just mentioned, what'd you say, no hell teaching? You got to talk to someone like that. There's a bar there. We need to help. There's something wrong. There's something different. Some people teach that. Some people teach once saved, always saved. Some people teach that you need to be baptized. All kinds of different teaching. But he says, I'm not going to leave this kingdom to other men. He says, God will set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms and stand forever. There's not a kingdom that's ever been raised up and ever will be raised up that will stand against the kingdom of the living God. My thought for this evening is the next part of this verse here. I'll read verse 6 again. And unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. This is my thought for this evening. Of all the powers of the world, all the governments of the world, all the rulers of the world, Christ is the main ruler, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Of all the governments that there are, regardless of what government is in place today or has ever been in place, there are always men and women trying to change that government. But Christ's government shall stand forever. And his name, for those of us that love that, his name shall be called Wonderful. Sister Ann sang the song. I asked her to sing that song this evening. Jesus. 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 There's something about that name. I don't know how many of you have ever in life encountered anyone that has been named Jesus. I remember in school there was one young man that was in my class. His name was Jesus. And I know a lot of different nationalities and things, nations might use that name, but Jesus, there's something special about that name. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a virgin woman, and he grew up still in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was a traveling preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never owned a house. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of these things. One usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothes and the only property he had on earth. And when he died, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have gone and come, and today Jesus is the central figure of human race, the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as much as that one solitary life, Jesus. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful, Jesus, the Prince of Peace." Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and the things of heaven, and the things of earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He says in these verses of Scripture, verses 10 and verse 11, Sister Ann actually quoted the verse there a little bit, but quoted a different time in another verse. But in verse 10 it says that every knee should. There's coming a time where every knee will bow. But at this time he says every knee, that in the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, the things of earth, and the things under the earth. Every knee should come to the place and bow before the Lord and recognize Jesus. I thank God, saints. I thank God today I can do that. I thank God I have done that in my earlier years in life and gotten saved. And every single day, Lord, I bow myself to you, Jesus. I confess that thou art the Lord, verse 11 there, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. You know, many a times people in the Bible, there's different accounts where people met Jesus and they recognized him as Lord. Paul, on the road to Damascus, had letters in his hand. If he found anybody preaching and teaching in the name of this man, Jesus, he had the authority to get them, to arrest them, to bring them back, and to punish them, whatever the punishment was. Maybe even unto death. He had that authority. But on that road to Damascus one day, Jesus came by. And Jesus shone a light upon Paul and the men that are with, and they fell to the ground. And he said, "Who art thou?" And he recognized that he was the Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus, whom you persecuted." There was a man named Zacchaeus. And he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree. And as Jesus passed by that way, and he went over to Zacchaeus there, and he said, "Come down, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus come down there and he called him Lord. As he came down and he said to him, Lord, behold, Lord. He recognized him. As he said here, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Zacchaeus said, Lord, behold, Lord. They gave him that recognition. They gave him that honor that he do, that was due. The man on the cross that at one time ridiculed him, at one time mocked him, and said, if you're truly the Son of God, if you're that man, get yourself off the cross and us also. But something changed in that man's eyes. And before he left this world, he had this prayer to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, Jesus said to that man, you shall be with me in paradise. There was a man that had a sick servant. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll go and I'll heal him. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy of you to come unto my house. I'm a man of authority. I say to this man, go. I say to that man, come. And they do it. I'm a man of authority. And Lord, all you have to do is speak the word. And God honored him. The last one was the woman. I always like that story. That's probably one of my favorite stories. It's not the probably, but one of the top favorite stories. When the woman came to Jesus and requesting a need for her daughter that was devil-possessed. And the disciples, Jesus ignored her at first. Then the disciples said, Lord, send her away. And she still cried after him. And he looked to her and he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it on the dog. He said, true, Lord. But even the dogs eat at the master's table. Lord, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to pick up in verse 12. Speaking about Jesus. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had the name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a virtue dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread them, and treadeth the winepress of the forces for the wrath of the mighty God. Look at verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus. Jesus. He was the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He is the Almighty. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All governments shall be upon his shoulders, shall rule in him. He is these things, as verse 16 says. He is the King of Kings, and it's in bold print, capitalized letters in each one. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I thought, who am I? Who am I that the shadow of God's finger would cross my life? Who am I? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The governments of the world shall bow before him. The Bible says that every knee will confess. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. One day, every single government, every single leader, every single prince, every single president, every single person that was in power, they will come to the place, they will bow before this man, Jesus, and they will confess that He is Lord one day, but that will be too late. And this mighty God, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, the ruler of all nations, of all the world, of all the universe, that made the universe as far out as we can see, the sun, the moon, the stars, the skies, the birds, all that we have, talk to my heart. I used that little thought. That was my own little thought. The shadow of God's finger passed upon my life one day. Who am I that God would speak to me? Zechariah, back over in Zechariah, it says, "He that touches you and I touches the apple of God's eye." He cares for us. He loves us more than anything that we'll probably even imagine. There's a song that Brother Jones sang while I was here. And it says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much Jesus cared for me." Thank the Lord. Malachi chapter 3. Over in Malachi chapter 3. In verse 16, picking up in verse 16, "And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that through His name." And look at verse 17. And Jesus, and God says here, Jesus says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Jesus. Jesus says, in that day, when it's time to bring it all together, when it's time to collect everything together, and I'm making up my jewels, He goes, "I'll remember you and I. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Proverbs tells us that the very fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I thank God we can have a proper respect, a proper fear of God, a proper fear of Jesus Christ. As again, not a fear that He's a tyrant, but a fear of reverence of who He really truly is. There's not one time, there's not one event in the Bible when the Spirit of God has came down and spoken to man in any way, shape, or form. They trembled. They fell. Paul fell upon his knees when Nebuchadnezzar, when he was drinking wine out of the vessels that were used in the temple there. When he was using that, he was mocking God, and the hand of God wrote on the wall and things. It says that the Bible that his knees knocked together, that he lost all strength in him. When those shepherds were up on that hill, as we talk about the Christmas story, and the angels came, they were in fear. They were in fear because of the very presence of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To worship God to reverence the Lord. He says there's a book of remembrance written of them that fear him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them. And we shall bow before Jesus and give him the praise, give him the honor, give him the glory, because his name is wonderful. I thank God for that. Jesus. He says the Jews and the Gentiles, the wisdom, they look at one of them, they look at wisdom. God says, I'll confound their wisdom. I'll confuse their things. I'll make them run around in circles, so to speak. God's, and when Jesus walked upon this earth, they would ask him questions, but he knew their purpose, and he would ask them questions to confuse them. The wise, as wise and great and powerful and wonderful as he is, he's willing to come down and humble himself to you and I, that we may know him by the grace of God. Jesus said, I was my neighbor this past week, they have a little girl. I don't know how old is Olivia.
Ten.
And she called and she says, Mr. Doug, she goes, my school is having it calls a recital. She goes, I would like you to come. And it's a Christmas play, just music and songs and things. And it's at Rosedale Baptist Church. And so we went that night, Lynn and I went. And as I sit there and watched it, and some of the little children, they're all little. And I watched the children take different parts. And some of them are very, very bold. And they're very into the part, whatever they had to play. But I thought of the verse that Jesus said when they asked him, who's the greatest? And he took a little child and set him on his knee. And he said, except you become a little child, you cannot be my disciple. I thought, Lord, sometimes we try to be so great. Sometimes we try to be, but just the simple things of Jesus. Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you tonight? Isaiah went on to several different titles there that he gave to him. Wonderful, Counselor. I'll read them, go back quickly and read them real quick as we end here. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I thank the Lord, I know that God, and I know Jesus. May the Lord bless you as well as song.
Page 392.
Should be, all I will cry to thee, Lord.
All of the cry to thee.